You're listening to The Running Ground with Joseph D. Welcome back, and thanks again for tuning in. Hope everyone's staying healthy, staying safe, and grinding. You know, whatever dream it is you're chasing, whatever goal it is you're pursuing, just keep grinding. And remember, mindset is everything. We are a week and a half post Chevron Houston Marathon and Ramco Half Marathon. And man, this weather be playing with us, I swear. Man, this past weekend, beautiful weather. Very cold, 50 degrees at the Chevron Houston Marathon. It was like a warm 50 degrees. But man, this weekend, even Sunday, 50 degrees, nice, cool, chill, no humidity. Oh, where were you on race day? But you know, since that last episode and since I kind of put my story out there, I got a lot of messages back. And one that, you know, I wasn't alone and everyone kind of suffered through that last stretch after a certain point. And then, too, like, you know, it was just great to hear someone who kind of trains a lot not hit their goals and kind of gives them – they just said it was kind of give you, like, a human aspect and, you know, just kind of helps people relate to you better. So if that helps, and, you know, it definitely helps people kind of see that, you know, even if you put in the work, you just never know what's going to happen on race day. Just know you're not alone out there. And It was tough for everybody, especially for us, you know, non-elites, us regular Joes that are trying to do this in between, you know, 9-to-5s, family and kids. We didn't grow up runners. We don't have any running history. We weren't like on, you know, cross country or, you know, whatever like that. So just give yourself grace and give yourself a pat on the back for just making it to the finish line and, you know, being part of that 0.05% in the U.S. of people who have run marathons, or 0.01% in the world of people who have ran a marathon. So kudos to all of y'all. As always, if you like the content, please share us with your friends and follow us on Instagram at the.grind.effect. For brand apparel and other designs, go to, or actually don't go to, our website at thegrindeffect.net, because it needs a much needed updating that I will eventually get around to, hopefully. But if you could all do me a favor and rate the podcast and write a quick review, that would definitely help the algorithm that these platforms use and really just help me and the show out. But thank you to all the followers and subscribers and listeners. Your support definitely means a lot. Again, I'm not really sure if I'm back or if I'm just kind of doing these, you know, as needed for my soul. But I'm just kind of going one episode at a time. I'm not really putting myself on any set schedule of putting these out, you know, twice a month, even once a month. Maybe you'll get one every other month. I don't know. But, you know, just as long as it's fun for me to do, I will put one out. And if I don't feel like putting one out, you won't get an episode. But I definitely appreciate everyone who always reaches out and is just always, you know, happy to see an episode being put out. Today, I welcome Rosa Perez from Houston, Texas, born and raised in Caracas, Venezuela. She moved to the U.S. in 2003 and then eventually to the U.S. in 2006. She is a diehard Houston Astros fan, but not only that, she is a big, I guess, known person in the running community. She's been doing this for quite a while. She has 20 half marathons to her name, and she just finished off her second Chevron Houston Marathon, first live one. She ran the virtual back in 2021. But this was her first taste of an actual live marathon and all the training that comes with it and all the spectacle that is the live event with the crowd, the spectators, all the runners, 27,000 people taken to the streets of Houston on that one day, the single biggest sporting event in Houston, Texas. But we talk about her race, her training leading up to that. I definitely tried to egg her on to attack this marathon one more time. But then we also just kind of talk about her life in general as one of the co-lead ambassadors for Latinas Run Houston, what she has store for the upcoming year, and just about life in general. So sit back and run with Rosa Perez.
Welcome to The Running Grind, a podcast dedicated to finding the story behind your journey, presented by The Grind Effect. It's a lifestyle, it's a state of mind, it's a reminder that success, your success, doesn't always come easy. And here's your host, Joseph D.
Hello,
There really is no format to it. I don't even like, I kind of just start however. It's not like, hey, I'm here with, you know, Rosa Perez from Houston, Texas. No, it's just kind of like getting straight into the conversation.
Sounds good.
But yeah, we'll just kind of like flow right into it. But being, I guess, like a full week past race day, how are you recovering?
I'm actually feeling really good. I'm not sore at all. I was sore. I was very sore for like 2-3 days, and then I kind of like started like moving a little more and walking and like trying to get some movement and not just like sit in my computer all day.
What hurt you the most? Like my inner quads were so sore.
My quads, yes. I don't know why my quads were like on fire for days. Yeah. I was like, what's wrong with me?
People told me calves. They said their back, their hamstrings, their glutes. I'm like, no, mine was just straight quads. Yes.
Same. My quads were super sore. And for some reason, like my shoulders.
It's because we're doing this for...
I know, forever, literally. So I was like, okay, like, what am I supposed to do? I went to yoga a couple of times, and I was like, I mean, that I went to yoga on Tuesday, and I was like, I can't barely move. Like, this is embarrassing. and then I did yoga again, probably like Thursday or so, here at home. So I was like, okay, this is a lot better. But even like the day after the marathon on Monday, I went to see my niece and my nephew, and they were jumping on the trampoline. And they're like, come. And I was like, oh, I don't know what to do. So I jumped for like a few seconds. I was like, okay, y'all, this is not good. I'm about to get up with this thing before I like fall and break something, make it all worse.
When you're running, do you ever like let your arm just like drop down and like run for a little bit?
I do. And I don't like, I mean, when you're running for so long, I guess like you just become so aware of like what you're doing with your body. And every time I felt like tension in my shoulders, I would like, okay, like relax, like just kind of like, but I guess it wasn't enough because my shoulders were still sore.
I think I became so electrolyte deficient during that race that my bicep or like my elbow was like cramping up as I was trying to take my goo. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to stretch this out.
And oh my God, like I was having a really good race until like mile 17 or so when the sun like hit me and I was like, okay, this is it. We're going to walk.
Yeah. Oh, I think that was like for everybody. I think everyone that I talked to, that's not one of these like super elites. That's just regular Joes like you and I, like we all made it to like 16, 17. And then it was like, we were going and then we weren't.
And then we were not at all. And I mean, I was like, my pace was like super even all throughout the first like 16, 17 miles. I was on track to PR. My PR was 5:14 from 2021. So it's not like, oh my God, I was like BQing. No, like, I mean, but I was still on track to PR, which I was like super excited about. And then boom, the sun. And I was like, why?
What corral did you start in?
D.
D. So you probably got like a 45-minute delay from when Corral started.
So I started around 7:40-ish.
Oh, wow. So that's a good, like, solid 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so you're probably at mile 16 when that sun really, like, peaks up. Because I think I was at, I don't know, maybe 20, already dying.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, at the beginning, it was kind of, like, cloudy. And there was, like, a cool breeze. And I was like, okay, like, it's not ideal weather, but I can work with this.
Oh, for sure.
And then the sun came out and all of them.
How annoying is it that the weather was just like perfect running conditions this weekend?
I know.
I was like, where was this last week? I needed this.
I know. Like one of my friends was like, oh, this weather acting all cute. Like it didn't try to kill us on Sunday.
And yeah,
like,
I know.
Literally, yes.
I'm a little bitter at Mother Nature for blessing us with good weather 7 days past the race.
I know. Thanks, but where were you last Sunday?
I know. All right, so I know you ran a couple halves, right?
I've done 20 halves.
20 halves
total.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh! All right, well let's kind of start there. Of all the halves that you've done, what's probably your favorite?
I think it's probably going to be 2020 Aramco. Because it was the first time I went below at 2:30. So I finished in 2:25. So just to kind of like tie all this up, years ago when I first started running, I was like, well, if I can ever run a half under 2:30, I'll sign up for a full.
Oh, and that was
it. So that was it. I mean, it took a very long time. I mean, when I first started running, it was taking me 3 hours to run a half marathon. I mean, there were some ankle issues and health issues that kind of like, you know, kind of like worked against like my pace, I guess. But yeah, so 2020 was when I first went under the 2:30 for the half. 2:25 I finished.
And you're like, if I get sub 2:30, I'm signing up for a marathon, which you did.
Which I never thought I could do it, and I did it. So yeah.
And then COVID happened.
So I did it. And then COVID happened, yes. But I mean, I honestly, COVID, as difficult as it was for me personally, I took that time and I really put a lot of effort into my running. I mean, I did a bunch of virtual everything, you name it, I did it. 5Ks, half marathons,
during the COVID?
Full marathon. During COVID, yeah.
Oh man, so, I mean, one virtual and I was like, yeah, I'm good.
No, I did them all. Because I was like, okay, like at the beginning of like 20, like the end of 2019, beginning of 2020, I was like feeling really good. And I was like, okay, I'm going to sign up for all these races. So basically I had already signed up for all the half marathons, like at the beginning of the year in 2020, most of them ended up turning into a virtual race because of COVID.
Yeah.
But
such a crazy time.
Yes. But I mean, since I was at home, like working from home, I had a lot of time to, okay, like I'm still getting up early. I'm still getting my miles in, but I had a lot more time because I didn't have to commute. I didn't have to get ready to go to work and do all that stuff. So I had a lot more time to, you know, work towards some of these goals that I had.
How crazy is it to run a virtual marathon? You know, like a virtual 5K, sure, nothing. Virtual 10K, yes. All right, 10 or yeah. Half marathon. I mean, I guess I could do it, but a virtual marathon, that's...
I know.
Nobody in their right mind, like, I look back at that now and I was like, what was I thinking? Like, why would I run 26 miles for fun? Like, who does it?
I mean, a bunch of us did it.
Yeah, so. A bunch of us did it.
Well, I mean, and then when all this was going on, they were like, okay, like, we'll... At work, they were like, okay, just go home for a couple weeks and then we'll come back and stuff. So this, I mean, nobody knew when we signed up for the marathon that it wasn't going to happen in person. So at first I was like, if they do it virtual, I'm not going to run it. I'll just do the half. And then I met some of my bestest running friends through COVID. And I was like, okay, no, I mean, we're going to go ahead and do this. Sounds crazy, but we're going to run a virtual marathon.
Well, then they sucked you in with the whole like triple challenge,
yes!
Right?
Well, you're like, oh, I gotta do it. I ended up doing it.
Yeah.
I mean,
what else am I gonna do? I got some time on my hands. And then I think that was the only year you could get 4 medals because you did the 5K,
exactly.
Pool, the
half, and the whole thing.
Double. Yeah. You did the whole thing.
So, I mean, think about it. It's like, this is a once in a lifetime opportunity to get 4 medals instead of 3.
You're that's
like,
how they built, man, the marketing behind that. Yeah. Remember that marketing team was smart.
I know. I mean, because I mean, all my friends did it. I did it. And then you get all the medals and then the cute little shirt that says triple with the crown.
Yeah.
I mean, I made all this.
Sign me up.
Right.
No, I did it too. And I was like, yeah, but looking back, I'm like, we really did that?
That was crazy.
Yeah. Where'd you do your marathon? Where'd you do your virtual marathon at?
I did it in Foolshare with some of my friends. Because, I mean, at that time I was living in Katy. So some of my friends got together and we just kind of like did it Cross Creek area. So we did like one loop, 6 miles. So we did like one loop, we went down and we did like another loop. It was wonderful.
At any point were you just like, this is dumb?
I did. I sat down at some point. I sat down and then my sister was like driving around looking for me. And she was like, what are you doing? And I'm like over it. Like, I'm so tired. So she ended up running with me the last 4 miles because I was like, I got to mile 22 and we set it up. So we would run by the same area like several times throughout. So that way we wouldn't have to carry a lot of things. We had a table set up with like all of our everything, water, extra goose, whatever. So it was mile 22, and then I had to do like one smaller loop to finish. And when I got there, I was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're at mile 22. You only have like a little more to go. Like, I mean, you're almost done. I was like, I'm done.
So my sister's it's okay, so easy to say, right? It's like, me. You're at mile 22. You only have four more to go. I'm like, you run four like, more. I'm not running four
thank
more.
Thank you. Exactly. Exactly my point. I'm like, okay, how many marathons have you done?
Yeah.
Why are you telling me this? Like, you have no idea what this takes. Like, no.
Just support me and tell me to stop.
Exactly. Just, let's go home
and
be done.
Yeah, let's go home and be done. Oh man. Well, after that, were you thinking like, I'm not doing marathons ever again?
I did not, because I wanted to experience the life race, shenanigans, like the whole thing. Then last year, I ended up dropping to the half, which I mean, I'm totally okay with. Like I mean, a half marathon is still a huge accomplishment.
Wait, so did you sign up for the full and then drop down to the half?
Yeah.
Now, why is that?
I mean, you know, I moved. There were a lot of life changes that went on and happened throughout like last year. So
we got married too, right?
I got married.
So you're planning a planning a wedding.
I was planning a wedding.
That's not easy.
Moving. Yeah, it was just a lot. And so I was like, I struggled throughout training because I was like, I'm too distracted with everything that's going on in my life. So I said, I'll just drop down to the half and do the full this year, which I did. And I mean, it was great, except when it wasn't. Yeah.
So this is like a 3-year deal, right? Because you started in 2020, yeah. COVID happened, 2021. Well, that would have been that was the virtual, and then 2022 dropped down to the half. So this was the end of a 3-year process. Yeah. So did you know kind of going in that this was going to be the live marathon? Like after you finished that half, you were like, all right, I really got to do this marathon.
Yes. And I mean, I signed up like right away after the half, I signed up for the full for this year. So even back in January 2022, this was going to happen.
At any point during that training season? Yeah. At any point during that training season, were you just like, man, what did I do?
I mean, you always wonder that sometimes, like especially when you're running like the long runs, you're like, why am I doing this? Like why? But I mean, I feel like it's important for you to surround yourself with awesome people that make long runs fun, and to remember that we do this for fun. Like I mean, I'm not an elite athlete by any means. So, I mean, when I'm doing this, when I'm running these races, when I'm like participating in all the things and doing everything that I do, I am doing this for fun. And this is something my dad always reminds me of. Like, remember that you do this for fun. So if
that's
at some
good.
Point,
that's a good perspective.
Like if it stops being fun, then why am I doing it? You know? So yeah. Like, I always try to remember that, like, remember you do this for fun. Remember you do this for fun. And
I got to remember I kind of get in the mentality of like, I'm a non-elite trying to be an elite, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, sometimes you kind of just forget like, hey, you're just a regular Joe doing this for fun, you know?
And I mean, and sometimes I feel like we get so caught up in the numbers and the pace and the miles and the heart rates and all the things. And I mean, forget about all that for 1 second, like, and just do this for fun.
Yeah. I mean, you ran a marathon.
Exactly.
I think I read it was like 0.05% of the world population has ran like a marathon in the US or something like that.
How cool is that?
Yeah. So, I mean, you've literally done something that most people have not even, majority of the world has not even attempted. All right. So,
I wasn't upset that, you know, race day didn't happen the way it was supposed to, I guess, in my head. Like, I wasn't upset that I didn't hit my goals. Like, I wasn't mad. Like at the end of the race, I know you were, and I mean, for a second there, I was like, oh, this sucked. Like I put all that work, and you know, I didn't get to hit basically any of my goals except the finish.
Yeah.
But
you know, you kind of just what you said. You got to remember that you do this for fun, and exactly. once the sting kind of like wore off, then I was like, you know what, like I do. I mean, it took me like 3 days to kind of realize that, but I was super salty for like the first 3 days.
But I mean, I did. I felt so grateful. I mean, can you imagine? Like, my body just went through all that. Like, I mean, we just ran a marathon. Like, literally. Like, how? Like, to me, that was like, oh my god, this is like mind blowing. Like, I'm just so grateful for everything. Like, the journey, like the everything.
Not so, even just like, from physicality standpoint, the mental part, especially when you hit that, especially at 16 or 17, when you're done, you start walking, it's all a mental game at that point. Cause it's like, all right, I got like 8 more miles to go and it's hot. I'm thirsty.
And I mean, how long is Memorial Drive? Like it goes on forever.
Like, you know, when I ran that at the Houston half, it didn't seem far at all. But when you're in a marathon, holy crap, that thing, I'm like, where am I? Come on, where is downtown? Where is mile 22?
Oh my God, this is like going on forever and ever, and I just want to be done.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's part of the process, and I take it and accept it, and it was good. I finished, and that's all that I can like celebrate right now.
I think what's cool is the video you posted of your finish line video, and the announcer's like, where's Rosa? And you're like, here. And he's like, man, look at that smile, all smiles.
I know. I say, like, I watched that video and it brings like tears to my eyes. Like, it's just, I don't know. Like, honestly, they made me feel like I was like a superstar finishing that race. I mean, I was 5 hours and 30 minutes into it, right? But I was like, oh my God, like, I'm finishing this. And they're like, the party can start now. And I'm like, yay.
Yes, it can. You know, I've only like met you maybe a few weeks ago, and we kind of like connected on social media like months ago, but your personality definitely like comes through like on social media to real life. Like how you are on social media, that's you. And so when I saw that video, I was like, man, that's Rosa, man. That's just the type of, she just looks like she's go happy, go lucky. Like just happy in the moment, happy in the moment.
Yes. I mean, you're finishing a marathon. Like, how can you not be happy?
Yeah. I mean, that's true. I need to, like I said, I need to learn that, because I crossed that finish line and I was like, well, that sucked. You know? And I just need to be grateful that I got to the finish line standing up and not being carried off.
I mean, I'm sure there were people that didn't get to finish or that something happened. Like, I mean, so, I mean, put yourself in their shoes too. Like, you know, like training for so long and not being able to finish, like I would have been heartbroken. Yeah. Oh, so 100%. I mean, the gratitude that I feel right now that I got to that finish line, it's like,
yeah,
huge.
Like you said, sometimes you kind of get too caught up in the numbers, you kind of you forget to look back and just kind of take in the moment.
Exactly.
You know, this year you kind of had the added bonus of being an ambassador for Chevron.
Yes.
What made you decide to sign up for that?
I don't know. Like, it's one of those things that, oh, I'm gonna do it, and they're probably not gonna pick me because, you know. So I don't know. You guys made it look so cool and so glamorous, and I was like, oh, I want to be like that too.
And then so, you get there, and you're like, this is not glamorous at all.
I told one of my friends that, I was like, you know, sometimes we make it seem a lot more glamorous than what it is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Friday, you're like on your feet like all day.
All day.
I mean, that's the one downfall, and then you're expected to run a 5K the next morning and
exactly. Do the
whole thing, so
I was so tired. Like on Friday when I got home from the expo and the pictures and all that, I sat down on the couch and I'm like, I'm exhausted. How am I gonna run this weekend? Like, I mean, this was just day one.
Yeah. Well, Friday is like so exciting, right? Because you get there and you're doing the expo and you're running a booth, and then you have the ambassador photo shoot afterwards, and everyone's just kind of having fun down there. Did you have to work the booth on Saturday too?
No, I did not. Okay. Thankfully, I was so glad I did not. So, I mean, my only full day was Friday. I got there early, like 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. So I did a little bit of shopping before I had to work my booth.
Yeah.
And then I worked the booth for a couple hours and we had pictures and stuff afterwards. So, I mean, it was a full day for sure. And I was very tired. But again, like I always tried to, okay, this was so cool that I got to do this and that I got to meet all of you and, like, you know, some of the people that you have talked to for months on social media, and but you don't, I mean, I didn't know and like a lot of them in person. So to finally get to meet some of these people in person and like finally give them a hug, it was like awesome.
I think I literally worked my booth for like 15 minutes.
Somebody else told me that too, and I was like, how?
Well, my shift was from 2 to 4. Hours. So I get there and I'm like, I get there and I work. I see where I'm supposed to be set up, but then I start seeing everybody and I start talking to people, and I saw Viv and I saw Glenda, and then I was like, ooh, let me get my free gloves. Let me get all the free stuff here. So by the time I made it to my booth, it was like 2:20. And then like 15 minutes later, we had to start walking.
So, at 3. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we had to start walking down for pictures at 3. So like, I think it was Kermit.
We were working 2 full hours.
Yeah.
Like nonstop. And I mean, like it was like, oh, like you want a picture? Sure. Okay. Look here. Smile. Oh.
Were you at the Michelob tent or? Yeah.
Yes, I was. So it was, I mean, a lot of talking, a lot of smiling, and everyone, people come up to you and like hug you and stuff. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, it was awesome. I'm not going to complain at all.
You're like a local celebrity now.
Nah. I don't know about that.
Well, yeah, you're getting pretty big in the big running community. We'll talk about it later, but we'll talk about Latina's Run and all awesome. That good stuff. Well, how'd you feel like your training did leading up to race day?
I had a really good season. I worked with Kim Laurie. She goes by Kim Mount on Instagram.
Name drop.
Yeah. And so we worked together. We started working together right after the 2022 race. So I was like, okay, if I'm going to do this full, I want to do it the right way. I want to work with a coach. I want to have a proper training plan. I want to be able to have someone to kind of like go and like ask questions and kind of, you know, just have someone kind of handhold like all the way.
Because it's like officially brand new territory.
Yes. I mean, it is. I felt like I had a really good training season. I didn't get to one of my things that I kept thinking about, like back in 2020, 2021, like I was running in the low 10 minute, like 10, 15. This training season, I didn't get to pick up that speed that I used to have. But I mean, I had the endurance. So, I mean, when you're running a marathon, I mean, you need to be on your feet for X number of hours. So I was like, okay, this is going to work. I mean, I'm probably not going to get to beat the 5 hour mark that I wanted to, but I was out PR easily. Thanks, son, for ruining that. But so we've worked together for almost a year. We've been working together for almost a year now. And I felt super healthy, like I didn't have any injuries leading up to race day until 2 weeks before.
Oh, no. What happened?
Uh-huh. So I had a pinched nerve on my right glute, and it was shooting down pain all the way to my knee. So I called my dad, like bawling, crying, like a week before the race. And I was like, Dad, like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. So my dad and my stepmom came from San Francisco for race weekend. And I was like, you guys are going to come and I'm not going to be able to run. Like, I'm in so much pain. And they were like, you know, like, we're going to go and support you, whatever you decide to do, that's fine. Just like relax. That's okay. So like I talked to Kim and, you know, she sent me a few like stretches and stuff. And honestly, during the 5K, I was in a little bit of pain. But on Sunday I had zero pain. It was like,
I wonder if it was like adrenaline or if it just like worked out. I mean, did you have any pain afterwards?
No.
Oh, maybe it just worked out.
Yes. So I was like, it was the craziest thing because I was like, the day before I went to eat with my family. We had lunch together and stuff. Like my mom was there and she looked at me and she's like, how's your leg? And I'm like, no, leg's good. And then she looked at me and I was like, no, my leg's not good. And this is literally the day before the race. So I was like, you know what? Like, if I have to walk it, I'll walk it. I don't care. I'm getting to that finish line.
I'll give you the name for a good chiropractor.
I know, right?
I know a guy who can take care of that.
Yeah, you know a guy.
Yeah.
I know. I mean, it's just, I guess I should have said something, but I was like so like panicky in the moment, like, oh, I don't know what I'm gonna do.
I mean, because again, that's like a buildup of how many months and weeks, and 2 weeks before you're like, oh, are you kidding me?
Yes. And I mean, that week I had a massage appointment with a massage therapist I used to go to in Katy, and she did what she does. And she looked at me and she said, you're fine. Like, everything feels fine. Like, she's like, I felt your legs worse than like before. Than what they felt like today. And I was like, okay. So she's like, you're gonna be fine. And I said, okay, maybe that was just like the reassurance that I needed. And I mean, it worked out, it really did. Like, I don't, whatever was bothering me, it didn't bother me at all on race day. Okay. But I mean, everything else, like I was perfectly fine. I had a few like nutrition issues, like probably halfway through training, which I talked to Kim about, and you know, everything got sorted out too. So it was an overall, I would say, like a training season.
Good, yeah.
Very good. Yeah. All I mean, right, it was good.
Let's take it to race day. You know, I don't know if there's like a crazier like feeling than walking into GRB Sunday morning and just seeing like, I mean, depending on what time you get there, but the flood of people that are just in there so hyped to like run this race. How are you feeling? Were you able to get some sleep the night before?
I slept ish. I tried to, like, I went to bed early. I fell asleep probably around 9 o'clock ish. And by 2 o'clock, I was wide awake, like wide awake.
You're like, I don't want to be late. I can't miss this.
Yeah. But you know that feeling, right? That you're like, okay, like, I don't want to oversleep. Like, I've had nightmares where I'm like, oh my God, did I miss a race? But no, it was, I woke up like around 2 and I was like, okay, I'm just going to stay in bed, try and see if I can fall asleep at least for a little bit longer. And then like at 3:30, when my alarm went off, I was like, okay, I'm getting up.
Was it one of those things where you're like sleeping and then you're like, bam, or is it like, am I really awake?
No. Like, it was like, okay, I'm awake now. Like, yeah. What am I supposed to do for the next hour before my alarm goes off?
Jumping jacks. No.
Yeah, like, yeah, I'm just gonna lay here and I can kind of wait because I don't know what else to do because nobody else is awake at 2 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning. So then later I found out one of my friends was like, I was awake too, and then she was like, I should have texted you because I figured you would be awake, and I'm like, yeah.
So it's pre-race butterflies.
Yes. And I don't know, it was just the anxiety. Like, I was getting super anxious like before the race. I can't explain it. It's just kind of like all the emotions. I mean, I probably cried like 20 times even before the race started.
Are you serious? Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. It's like the culmination, right? Like, this is it.
Yes, exactly. So, I mean, all those months and early mornings and all those workouts and all those miles are leading up to that moment right there. So every time like somebody would like come and hug me and say hi, I'd be like, but it was
you probably drained more energy crying than,
oh my God, I know
I need to drink some water to rehydrate from all these tears that I just shed.
I know, like, somebody has some Gatorade please, because yeah. I'm already dehydrated before we start this. But no, I didn't cry through the race. I was fine.
Yeah, well, walking to the corral and kind of really getting like seeing that starting block in the distance,
were you getting nervous? All the feels. Yeah, of course. It's
like, oh my God, this is it, we're really gonna do this.
Exactly. So I was running with one of my good friends, Juan. He comes from Florida. This is his third year coming to Houston to run. So he came to run the virtual in 2021, then he ran the full last year, and this year he ran the half. But so we ran together all the way through the 7.5 mile or so when the two races split, when the full and the half split. So it was like, I turned around and I looked at him and I was like, okay, don't cry. I was like, okay, let's go.
How crazy to be like, man, I could go straight, but I have to turn. But I still could go straight if I really wanted to.
I know. And I mean, like, seeing him go straight and then like I was feeling good at that point. I was feeling really good. I was like, okay, like I feel ready to turn right.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm here, there he goes, and I'm like, don't leave me.
Last year was my first year to go right. And it's such a big deal because you're like, man, I'm so used to going straight all these years.
It is.
And here I am about to go right. And when you finally make the right, you're like, well, I guess we're in this.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no turning back.
There's no turning back.
Right? You just have to keep going. And I mean, and I studied that route like crazy. Okay, like I sure did. And I mean, a lot of our training runs, we ran through Memorial Drive a lot, all the way to Allen Parkway. When we did our 20 miler, we left Memorial Park, Memorial Drive, through Chimney Rock, to the Galleria area, and then back. Like, I mean, I've ran a lot of the route during our training runs. So I was like, okay, like I know I'm gonna turn right here, and this is what I'm gonna see, and this is what's gonna happen once I turn right, because that's unknown territory to me. Or it was. So I wanted to be like ready, mentally ready to go through and make the right turn. And I did.
Did you know about the bridge at West Park?
I did. Okay, let me tell you a funny story. So during my takeover, someone asked me about the bridge. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about, because I've never done
this. Because everyone only talks about Allen Parkway, right?
Exactly. I had no clue. So I posted a little video saying, hey, like, this is, even though this is my second marathon, this is my first life race. So I really don't know which bridge you're talking about. And then Steve actually messaged me. He's like, they're talking about the bridge on West Park. Like, and I was like, oh, I didn't even know that was a thing, because everyone always talks about, you know, on the parkway and it's so hilly. But they don't tell you there's a gigantic bridge on Mother Day that you're like looking at and you're like, what is this?
Oh my God. The first year, I did not even know about it. I made that left turn and I was like, what the? Is this, who put this here? Nobody told me. And I had other runners like, yeah, remember we talked about that? I was like, I must have missed class that day. Or they'll be like, you didn't look at the map. I'm like, on the map it does not say bridge.
It doesn't say bridge. Yeah, exactly. No. at all. So I mean I knew it existed because it's something like someone mentioned it during my takeover, so I was ready for it. And then I asked like some of my friends that had already learned the route, and they're like, yeah, this is blah, blah. And I'm like, ooh, a bridge.
Yeah.
That's fun. And you can see my heart rate kind of spike there. And I'm like, oh, that's where the bridge was.
Yeah. And you're like, you want me to truck up this thing?
Yeah. I was like, no, I'm just kind of like Olympic walking.
Yeah. I know. I probably look like one of those like Olympic speed walkers, like trying to go up that thing.
Exactly.
The crazy part is you go down that thing and then you got to make a hard U-turn.
Yeah. Well, what's that? I mean, it's just a little bit, and then you're like, and it's like, a little weird when we could have gone.
Talk about a momentum killer.
Like, I know.
It's like you're in a good pace, and all of a sudden you're like, pump the brakes and make a sharp U-turn. But after that is mile 13, so you're halfway.
Yes.
So that's always exciting to see.
And my family was waiting for me at mile 14, so
nice. Was it Galleria?
So I knew. Yes, right there. Like right when you turn in Post Oak, they were waiting right there.
Oh, nice.
So I knew. I was like, okay, I know I have the bridge, not 13, and then 14, I see them, and then that'll give me a little bit of extra boost to kind of keep going.
Yeah, my parents were at 15. And so I think Galleria is like one of the big landmarks I like to run through. I like 8 because that's a split. And then you got Galleria because it's like, hey, this is like, you know, it's part of the city. It's the Galleria. And then after that, 16 and 17 happens, and 18, and there's like nobody there.
I know.
So quiet.
And you know what happened over the weekend? We went to Galleria on Saturday, and we were driving down Post Oak, and I was like, I don't remember running through here.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I mean, where was my mind like during this little part of the route? Like, I don't remember running through here at all.
Trying to keep our bodies alive.
I did, but I was like, how? I was like, okay.
Yeah. Well, shortly after the gallery is 16, 17, and that's when you said you kind of felt that change.
So my family was at mile 17 again, like right there on, like as soon as you go to turn on Memorial Drive, they were waiting for me in that corner.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so So I was like, when I saw them there, I was like, it's hot and I'm not feeling it anymore. And they're like, okay, here, drink some water, whatever, blah, 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 and keep going. I was like, okay, I'm going to keep going. And
then around like, we just saw you 30 minutes ago. You looked like you were doing
fine. Yeah, yes, exactly. I was like, because I told my dad, I was like, look, the sun's coming out. Like, I can feel the sun, like, burning my back. It's getting hot. I don't know if I can keep it up. And sorry. and then I'm out 18. There was a girl, like, crying, and I was like, oh my god, like I was like, what am I? I hugged her. I was like, random. I'm that person.
Yeah.
So I hugged her and I told her, hey, like, you know, just take it easy, just keep going. And I was like, okay, bye. Yeah.
Just take it easy, but I gotta go. Okay.
Yeah.
But I stop there and like hug somebody, I mean, I think that's a testament to the person you are.
Think about, I mean, we all had bad runs, right? But you don't want that bad run to be on race day. And she was like crying. And I was like, I felt so bad because I feel like, you know, that's been me. Like I've had really bad runs that I've ended like crying like that. Like, so I was like, look, everything's going to be okay. Just kind of like, you know, and then keep going. Like, you know, we're already at mile 18. We're more than halfway there. Like, just kind of like, push it a little bit and then you'll make it to the finish line. So I really hope she made it. Because she was like, and it broke my heart a little. So I was like, but I have to go.
Yeah. But I have to go. All right. So then, you know, we hit 18, 19, the lonely streets of the route. Yeah. And then once you hit 20, you kind of come back out on, you know, you pass 6:10, you're like, oh, there's people again.
Yes. So I saw some of my friends, family right there on mile 20, and then my family, like everybody was waiting for me at mile like 21 22. So I saw them there and it was one of those like I was so done, like I was like tired, and I kind of like said hi to everybody and I was like, okay, I kept going, and then I forgot to kiss my husband, and then I turned around and I was like, I'm sorry I didn't kiss you, but I gotta go. And then my stepmom actually, like, she came running and she's like, I'm gonna run with you. And I'm like, I have 4 miles to go. Like, that's a lot. Like, we just ran 3 miles yesterday and you're going to run another 4 today. She's like, yeah, I'm going to go with you. So she ran with me pretty much to the finish line.
No way. Oh, wow. That's a big, yeah. Man, what a, shout out to stepmom.
Yes. So it was super special. And then like towards the end, like I saw a few of my friends. So it was like, you know, like that little bit of like, okay, like I'm almost there. And everybody's like, yeah. And I was like, okay, yeah, I can do this. I really can. And you can see it. Like, I picked up the pace again, like the last mile or so, I picked it up again.
Did you have to do any walking at all? Or did you kind of just like?
I did. Yeah. I like parts of Allen Park Way. I was like, F this.
I wanted to run so bad. But my legs were just like, we're not running, but mm-hmm. We're not running, man. We're going to walk. And we're going to walk a lot.
Yeah. And then, like, towards mile 24, one of my good friends, Cato, she brought me a beer. So she's like, here, you need this. And I was like, but I'm not done. She's like, I'm sorry, you only have like 2 miles to go. Drink some of this. You need the carbs. And I was like, okay. And
yeah, so I'll take the carbs.
Was like right there. So there were pictures of me, right, in mile 24, like drinking a beer. And I was like,
I heard someone told me that there's like a couple of electrolytes in there too. So I was like, really? Well, next time I'm gonna turn up on
exactly. Forget everything else. Let me fill my water bottle with a beer.
So at what point did your stepmom like kind of back off and kind of let you, because when I saw you, you were kind of running on your own.
Well, she was okay. So as soon as we turn into downtown, that you have the fence like on the side right there.
Yeah.
So I told her, okay, once we get there, I don't want you to go like where we're running, because I don't want you to get in trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, she obviously didn't have a bib or anything. So she ran on the outside of the fence. But she ran with me literally until she couldn't run anymore.
Like, oh my gosh.
Just a few steps away from the finish line.
She probably heard me like yelling like, Rosa, Rosa.
I know. That was so cool. I was like, ah. And then my mom was there too. My mom, my stepdad, my brother, like everybody was there. Like, I mean, talk about a special race for me. And it was definitely last week's race. My family, everybody was there. Like my family, all of my parents, my siblings, my husband's family was there too, because one of my good friends, who is also my sister-in-law, she was also running. So it's just so special to feel so loved and supported.
Quite like that first marathon of crossing that finish line.
Yes.
Because I mean, you're just like, man, I did that.
I know.
That's so well.
And I mean, yes, I took one potty break at mall like 9, and I walked a little bit, but I pretty much like kept my feet moving the whole time. So, I mean, I'm proud of myself.
Yeah, no, you should be proud. But then you have to like walk all the way to like get your medal. Then you got to walk through this long path. And I'm like, can I just sit down?
I know. And I was like, if I sit down, I'm not getting up.
Yeah,
I know. So do I want to sit down?
Did you hit up any of the HEB food trucks afterwards?
I did not. Because I mean, I don't know if you know this, but I don't eat meat or dairy.
I mean, I know you're a plant-based, like.
Yes. So I'm always afraid to go get anything from any, like.
If you don't know the
reason. Like, so I was like, some of my friends got ice cream and I was like, oh, that looks really good. I wish we'd have some, but I can't eat this.
You walk up there. Is there a plant-based one here?
I'm like, where's the food for the people that eat all the veggies?
Yeah. Well, that's true. I guess so does that include eggs too? Like you don't do that?
I recently started eating eggs. Yeah.
Right when they're like $8 a carton.
I know. One of my friends was like, this is your fault. And I was like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Since you started eating, the price of eggs went up. Look at that.
Yeah, like literally. I mean, that's the only thing really that I eat. It's eggs.
Yeah. Well, you had that post race high. We talked about your recovery and how it took you a couple of days. I guess the big question is, what's that distance going to be next year?
No pressure.
I won't put you on the spot. I know you're kind of deciding between the two, but hopefully you had a good experience and at some point you'll, whether it be next year or in a couple of years, you tackle that distance again, because, you know, I think I feel like we get bad weather or hot weather every 5 years, and that was our hot weather year.
So next year we'll get good weather.
Yeah, next year we'll get good weather. And
if I can get that in writing, that next year we'll have good weather, then for sure I'll go for the full. I don't know. Like, I keep going back and forth. So I've had this goal of going sub-5 for 3 years.
Yeah.
Literally.
Wait, so what was your finish time this year?
The official finish time was 3 hours and 32 minutes.
for the full?
Yeah.
How you said 3 hours?
5 hours, sorry.
5 hours and 32
minutes.
I mean, part of that was a lot of that was related to the heat.
Yes, absolutely. So do I want to try again and try to push for that sub-5?
It's a lot of work,
knowing that nothing's guaranteed on race day, basically.
Yeah.
Just the effort that you put into it. Or do I want to go with what I'm comfortable and maybe try to PR my half distance, or I don't know. I'm still working through all the feelings. Because I mean, it's months of
just your life.
Yes, everything. And I mean, not only my life. Like, I mean, I feel like every time that I train for something like this, like everyone that, you know, I surround myself with, like, they're all impacted. I mean, we don't, on Friday nights, we don't go anywhere. Saturday mornings, I mean, my mornings are pretty much booked. So it's definitely a lot to think about. At this point, I have not made a decision. I haven't registered yet. I mean, I will register for either or.
I'm always egging you on to do the full, but no, do what you feel is best for that moment. I want to see you tackle the full, but I mean, that's just me.
I don't want to say that I will, and I don't want to say that I won't.
Yeah.
But I mean, there are some days that I feel that I still have at least one more in me.
Yeah. You know what? My goal was like to hit legacy, and this is number 3, but I'm like, ooh,
no.
maybe I'll take it to 5 and call it a day. It's just a lot of time and a lot of work.
I was thinking about that because I was so close to hitting legacy on the half.
Yeah.
And then I was like, yeah, mommy, I can do legacy for the full marathon. And then after Sunday, I was like, no, thanks.
You know, I did 10 years of halves, and my wife kind of, she's like, I think you're good with the half. Like, you know, this is a new challenge for you. And it just kind of, I feel like the marathon changes you and pushes you in ways that,
yes,
I think you're a different person coming out of a marathon than you were.
Absolutely.
Going in. And
absolutely.
So, I mean, I'm kind of locked into keep running them until I just don't want to, but, yeah, no, anybody, you know, misery loves company. So anybody can kind of drag.
Exactly.
Into that
that's what I always tell people, because I was like, okay, I guess misery loves company, because here we are running 18, 19, 20 miles together, my friends and I.
Oh, in my running club, I'm always trying to get people to like jump up to the marathon, and they're like, ooh, yeah, I don't know about that.
I mean, I feel like you have to be ready, and you have to understand the difference between training for the full and training for the half.
It's going to be on your terms too, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. I mean, I'll always try to recruit people to run longer distances. But at the end of the day, I mean, whatever makes you happy.
For sure.
So, I mean, I'm very happy still for my marathon. So yeah.
Well, eventually I want to see you come back and crush that sub-5 when we have like 40 degree weather and zero humidity.
I know. And I mean, I may.
Yeah. Oh, she did the possibly look up type of thing. All right. Well, aside from being an ambassador, aside from running your first live marathon, you're also involved in the running community with Latinas Run Houston, right? How'd you get involved with that?
So it all happened back in 2021, July 2021. My friend Grace, who is also one of the lead ambassadors for Latinas Run Houston, she was in touch with Maria Solis. She is basically the president of Latinas Run, like nationwide. Maria wanted to come to Houston and open up a Latinas Run Houston chapter. So this all happened in July 2021. Grace, Glenda, and I actually started from scratch Latinas Run Houston. So it's been fun.
I get some big turnouts.
Yes, absolutely.
And I got like partner type of thing with Lululemon right there.
Yes, we run out of Lululemon every other Tuesday. So there's a lot of awesome things coming up, and a lot. So if you guys don't follow Latinas Run Houston on Instagram, please go follow.
Yeah. So what's your role? Because you're not just like a member, you're actually part of like
leadership team. Yes, Grace and I are the lead ambassadors. We have a team of assistant ambassadors and volunteers that help us just carry all the projects that we have. So, I mean, anything from being in touch with some of our partners that help us put the bi-weekly runs together, creating the content for social media, the signs, all that stuff, staying in touch with the members. But I mean, some of the most amazing humans I've met through Latinas Run Houston. So I'm super blessed. I can't even, I mean, it's been amazing to see how it went from being just an idea, and Glenda, Grace, and I just kind of getting together and trying to see how we could make this work, to what we see today. So definitely super blessed to be part of that project.
Has it just added to your plate of things to do on top of like work, being a wife, and running? And now you're like head of an organization and or a chapter and trying to run that.
I mean, that sounds, it's a lot.
It is, yeah. You know, because anytime you take a leadership role like that, it comes with its own like stresses, whether they're good stresses or bad stresses. It's another level of stress that you didn't have before. And when you're managing a lot of personalities and people, and sometimes it's like, it can be a lot.
It is. And I mean, I wake up earlier than everybody else in this house. So I put a lot of work into what I do outside of the office before I start working. So like if I have to work on certain things for Latinas Run, I do it in the morning. If I have to all my runs and pretty much all my workouts out there in the morning before I get to work and stuff like that. So it definitely takes a lot of time management to do what we do. I mean, you do it too. I mean, with your family and everything else. And it's just, you have to be organized. Like you really do have to. Otherwise it's.
And you got to be balanced because if you give attention to more than one, like one thing more than the other, you know, thing it can get like messy, right?
And I mean, honestly, like to me, my family is going to come first.
100%.
So my family always come first no matter what. And then after that, I mean, I'll give whatever time I have to everything else that I do. But my family, my husband will always come first.
Yeah. Well, what's on the menu for the rest of 2023? You got any races coming up?
So this weekend I signed up for the Bayou City Classic, I think.
Oh, yeah.
I signed up for the 10K.
It's on the March 4th. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's sponsored by, that's kind of a partner with Lululemon. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
So I signed up for that.
You're going to have a whole new level of fitness for that 10K.
I hope so. I mean, I haven't done anything really since the marathon.
Yeah. You shouldn't though.
I know.
10 days off.
It's like, but don't you get like, oh, this is so boring.
But it's like, I know my body needs this, but this is really boring.
I know. So I signed up for that. I have a meeting with my coach this week to kind of see what we're going to do for the next few months. I have a couple of trips planned for the next couple of months too. So I think the plan for at least Q1 of the year will be kind of take it easy. You know, to still keep up with my fitness level so that way I don't lose everything that I worked for. But that's the plan. I don't have any other races on the calendar.
Yeah. I mean, it's still kind of early in the year, but yeah, mm-hmm. I might see you at that Bayou City Classic one. Just seems like a fun, easy race to do.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I was like, okay, 10K, I can do a 10K.
Yeah. So I've never seen anybody have more mugs, coffee mugs, than you. Like I just imagine like this cabinet full of mugs just stacked to the max.
It literally is. And my husband, I mean, he's like, you can't buy any more mugs. He's like, if you buy more mugs, you have to get rid of mugs. And I'm like, I can't get rid of mugs. They all like, they have their, like they're each personality. Like I can't just like.
There's all a special meaning behind it.
Yes, absolutely. I'm like, I can't get rid of my mugs. I mean, they're so special to me. And you know, like sometimes when I feel a certain way, then I use one of my mugs to kind of relay how I feel.
Are you the type that like, if you're like in a different country or a different city, then you're like, I need a mug to commemorate this trip.
I don't have a lot of mugs from like when I travel. What I do, I get Christmas ornaments from the cities that I travel to. But I don't get a lot of mugs because of the lack of space.
Clothes and all that.
Yeah.
So a lot of your mugs, just like you're just out and about and you're like, you know what? That mug speaks to me. I'm at HEB right now and that mug speaks to me.
Or I mean, they're gifts or, I mean, I have like a couple. I have three Chevron mugs from different things. I have a lot of Disney mugs. But yeah, I mean, a lot of them are gifts too. Like people like to give me mugs for obvious reasons.
You need to change your handle to like Roro Runs and Mugs.
Right. I mean, like I, it was the funniest thing, especially like it all started maybe about a year or so ago during the postseason. So I would like post my Astros mugs and stuff. And people were like, oh, like, okay, you drank from that mug that day and the Astros won. So it just kind of like,
they lost the next day because you didn't have that mug.
literally. So that's kind of how it all started. But yeah, so I do have a full cabinet of mugs.
That's awesome. And then one little fun fact about you is you're trying to see all the major ballparks in the United States. There's 30 total. You've seen 10 of them, so 20 more to go. And I think you have Minnesota and Pittsburgh on the list this year.
Yes. So so in April, we're traveling to Minnesota and then to Pittsburgh to see the Astros play. It's, I don't know, it all, I mean, I've always liked baseball. I am my dad's daughter after all, so that's where I get it from. But I mean, I grew up being around baseball with my family. My dad is a huge baseball everything. I mean, huge. When I was little, my dad had all the baseball caps for all the teams, and then he would point to one and I would have to tell him, okay, that it's team blah blah blah. So I from a very young age, like, I knew all the teams and their logos because of my dad's hats. And he took me to my very first major league game in 1999. So I mean, after that, it's kind of just like stuck with me forever. And just being here and, you know, having such an awesome team like the Houston Astros, like, how can you not? But I mean, I would like to add that I've been an Astros fan since 2006, since I moved to Texas.
So you went through the dark ages.
I went through the dark ages. Yeah. So I'm not one of those fans that is like, oh, she only likes the Astros because
they're when they're good. Yeah, no, you're not a bandwagon fan. No. Like, you,
I am definitely not.
If you stuck with them through those years,
exactly,
through those dark years, man. Yeah, you're a true fan.
Exactly. So yeah. So I mean, that's a major goal of ours. So every year we try to go to anywhere from 2 to 5 different ballparks, just kind of to speed up the process to get to 30.
I think I saw you guys at New York, right? Y'all went to the New York.
Went to New York, yeah.
Who did we play in the first round?
Last year, who did we play in the first round?
Oh, man. It went by so fast. But yeah, no, and you were there for the World Series, like the game winning.
Yes.
Oh, man. How great is that?
So for the Championship Series, we went to game 1 and 2 here. And we had tickets to game 3 in New York. We went to New York. The Astros won game 3. We ended up changing all of our tickets and everything to stay an extra day so we could go to game 4 in New York, hoping that they would clinch. And it happened, as we all know.
And you were there for the World Series win too, right?
And yes, and I was there. Man. So I saw them win in New York. And we were on TV and everything. And people were like texting me, oh, my God, you are on TV. And I'm like, oh, my God, we were on TV. How cool was that?
Yeah, that's me. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we were here. We went to game 1 or 2 of the World Series. And then we were there for game 6. And by far the absolute best game ever.
Oh yeah. That was what a game.
So I can't wait for opening day. New season to start. We'll get started all over again. So by then it won't be so much about running. My Instagram will be more follow me to all the Astros games that I go to.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be a shift from like running to like Astros.
Yeah.
You need to parlay that in somehow and get the Astros to like hook you up with tickets and stuff.
Right. Astros, if you're watching this or listening to this, please.
If you're listening to this small podcast based out of Houston, we got someone for you. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. Hope you had fun.
Absolutely. This was awesome. Thank you so much for having me.
Definitely looking forward to seeing you back on the running courses and back at the marathon next week.